I don't want to focus tonight on God's forgiveness for us, although that'll be briefly mentioned. I want to talk about how hard it is to forgive people. Es difícil perdonar a otras personas. No voy a hablar del perdón de Dios para nosotros tanto como que lo difícil que es para nosotros perdonar a las personas que nos han hecho daño. To show you, to make my point tonight, I want to show you several stories of people that, because of their Christian faith, have been able to forgive under incredible circumstances. Quiero compartir con ustedes algunas historias de personas que, por su fe cristiana, han sido capaces de perdonar bajo tremendas situaciones y difíciles circunstancias. Entonces, quiero compartir eso con ustedes en esta noche. The first story that I want to talk about, la primera historia que la quiero compartir con ustedes, es de Connor McBride y su novia Anne Grossmere. They were going out, they were dating for quite some time. And then one day in an argument, things got really bad. Ellos fueron novios por un tiempo, bastante tiempo, y después un día, en una discusión, la cosa se puso fea de verdad. Let me read to you real briefly what happened. This is from the New York Times, the periódico New York Times. At 2:15 in the afternoon on March of 2010, Connor McBride, a tall, sandy-haired 19-year-old wearing jeans, a T-shirt, and New Balance sneakers, walked into the Tallahassee Police Department, approached a desk in the main lobby. Gina Maddox, the officer on duty, noticed that he looked upset and asked him how she could help. "You need to arrest me," McBride answered. "I just shot my fiancé in the head." When Maddox, taken aback, didn't respond right away, McBride added, "This is not a joke." Este hombre, a los 19 años de edad, el día 28 de marzo de 2010, entra a una estación de policía y le dice a la policía que está atendiendo, "Ustedes me tienen que arrestar ahora mismo porque yo acabo de matar o pegarle un tiro a mi novia, a mi prometida en la cabeza." Y estaba él en mala condición. Ese es el muchacho, that's the guy. About an hour earlier, at his parents' house, McBride shot Anne Margaret Grossmere, his girlfriend of 3 years. Anne was a tall 19-year-old with long blonde hair, like McBride, a student at Tallahassee Community College. The couple had been fighting for 38 hours in person, by text, and over the phone. They fought about the mundane things that many couples fight about. But instead of resolving their differences or shaking them off, they kept it up for 2 nights and 2 mornings, culminating in the moment that McBride shot Grossmere, who was on her knees in the face. He shot her in the face. Her last words were, "No, don't." Entonces, ves esta historia, y es una muchacha que llevaban 3 años de novio, estaban discutiendo, y llevaban ya 2 días y 2 noches discutiendo. Y llegó a tal punto la discusión que él le pegó un tiro a ella. Now, why do I tell you this story? ¿Por qué compartir una historia tan trágica? Why come share such a tragic story? Well, in 3 years of a relationship, there's two families that knew each other. Después de 3 años de relación, esta pareja, la familia de ambos se conocían. And so that put everybody in a very difficult situation. Eso puso a todo el mundo en una situación bien difícil. How do we handle this? ¿Qué hacemos? Especially, well, for both. For his parents, how awkward. And for her parents, how horrible. He just killed my daughter. So forgiveness is one of those things that's really tricky when things get this ugly. So I want you to hear the news report of what happened regarding forgiveness in this case. Quiero que escuchen la noticia de cómo el perdón jugó parte en esta historia. It's a very interesting story.
Back now at 8:10 with a story about a horrific crime and the remarkable power of forgiveness. In a moment, we're going to talk to two families devastated by an unthinkable tragedy who came together to heal. But first, with the story, here's NBC's Mark Potter.
The crime took place on March 28, 2010, the day 19-year-old Connor McBride walked into a Tallahassee police station. Officials say he told the duty officer, "You need to arrest me. I just shot my fiance in the head." But the story began as a love story between Connor and Ann Margaret Gromare, both top students at Leon County High School. As they fell in love, their families became close. But reporter Paul Tullis, who wrote the story for the New York Times, says there was an underlying anger.
We all have had relationships where we would rather sort of push things under the rug rather than confront difficult issues, and I think that's what happened with Connor and Ann.
Tullis learned a two-day fight between the couple escalated until Connor, who says he wasn't thinking straight, got his father's shotgun, pointed it at Ann, and in one horrifying moment, shot her. 4 days later, Ann was removed from life support, and Connor was charged with first-degree murder. But rather than let Connor be locked up for life, the parents decided to try a concept called restorative justice, where both families, including Connor, sit face-to-face as part of a healing process.
To have people sit down at the table and be able to engage in this dialogue, it's so human.
The prosecutor, Jack Campbell, had never heard of restorative justice, but because of the unusual circumstances, decided to try it. The families wanted no more than 15 years for Connor. Campbell offered 20, far less than in similar cases.
The Gromares found this process through their faith, their experience, and the process to be cathartic and to be helpful for their healing. This may be one way to help a parent, but it's certainly not a fix-all tool.
Two families trying to come to grips with a devastating tragedy through a process of forgiveness. For today, Mark Potter, NBC News, Miami.
And Andy and Kate Gromare are with us now, along with Connor's parents, Michael and Julie McBride. They join us from Florida. Good morning to all of you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Savannah.
Boy, when I read this story, I thought this isn't just about forgiveness. This is about radical forgiveness. And to be clear, you came to this, Andy, not after some long passage of time, but in those excruciating moments when your daughter was on life support. What happened? How is it that you decided to forgive?
Well, it's a process for that week. So I went through and, you know, I felt like my daughter was asking me to forgive Connor. And I just told her I couldn't, and there's just no way I could. And at the end, I said, well, I'll try. And then later on in that week on Thursday, I really felt like my daughter was joined with Christ, and he and her were asked me to forgive, and I just had never said no before to them, so I wasn't going to say no this time. And so it was just an uplifting of joy and peace.
Kate, this is something that you said took you a little bit longer, and yet in that first week you went and visited Connor, a boy you knew very well, in jail. What was that like?
I was very nervous going because Andy had told me the night before that he wanted his message to Connor to be that he loved him and he forgave him. And I wanted to take that same message to Connor, but I just wasn't sure that I was going to be able to say those words when I saw him face to face. I had talked during the week, I had told Connor's parents, you know, I could not judge Connor by that moment, because if I did, then I was, you know, defining Anne by that moment as well, simply as a murder victim, and she was so much more than that. So through the nerves, you know, I went up to visit him, and the first thing he did was, you know, he cried and said how sorry he was. I told him, you know, Mr. Gromare loves you and he forgives you, and I said, Connor, you know I love you and I forgive you.
Less people think this is an easy forgiveness. Certainly, you are still angry or have been angry at your daughter's killer.
Actually, not, you know, not really. I'm sad, you know. It's, we're not offering a pardon to him. So, but it frees us. The forgiveness frees us. It keeps us from going to prison with Connor.
Michael, let me bring you in here. One of the first things you did, which everyone related to this story said was just crucial, is you went straight to the hospital where Anne was clinging to life in those moments. That must have been an incredibly terrifying thing to do. Why did you do it, and what did it mean?
When I left the beach, Julie was really worried about me driving in such a state of shock. And she told me she loved me to drive safely and had the wisdom to say, go to the hospital. So on the ride home, I didn't really have any vision of what the hospital would be like. I didn't think about what I would say or do. And I definitely didn't consider the reception that I might encounter. I just knew I had to go. It was the right thing to do.
Jolie, this is a tragedy for all concerned. What has it meant to you to experience that forgiveness at a moment that I imagine for you was full of shame and sadness as well?
I think we're all surprised at the depth of forgiveness we can have. And I think we don't really know what we're capable of forgiving until we're actually in the situation, whether it's a driver cutting you off at a red light or circumstances this tragic. But Andy and Kate Gromer have publicly demonstrated what true forgiveness looks like.
Well, I want to talk about this concept of restorative justice. In a sense, it's an alternative to a criminal trial. You all get in a room, Connor included. He tells you what he did. Did that put this concept of forgiveness to the test to go through that?
It was the hardest thing I ever did in my life. They say, you know, your heart can hurt. But that day, my heart really hurt. I mean, I physically felt like it hurt. And it was just very difficult.
And Sujatha Baliga, the facilitator, asked us later that night, she said, how do you feel about having forgiven Connor? And I told her, I said, I'll have to think about everything he said today. And I did consciously think about every detail that he gave and, you know, challenge myself, is that forgiveness still there? And it was, and it still is today.
Well, and I know he did not get a life sentence, 20 years, more than you actually had asked for, but it's certainly a significant amount of time.
Well, what we had, I just want to say, what we had hoped for was if he was going to serve a 20-year sentence, that 10 years of it would have been served in prison, and 10 years could have been served in the community, working in those areas for things that Ann loved.
Well, thank you very much for being here and sharing this story. Andy and Kate Gromer, thank you so much. Michael and Julie McBride, we thank you as well.
Una historia increíble, an incredible story. Both sets of parents dealing with grief beyond belief and the forgiveness that was there. But both of them come at it from a Christian perspective. And that makes a big difference. La diferencia y lo que hace esta historia peculiar es que el perdón de ambas parejas procede de su fe cristiana. And that's what I want to focus on tonight. What does it mean for a Christian to forgive? And so I want to look in our Bibles in Matthew chapter 6. Quiero enfocarme en esta noche. ¿Qué quiere decir para un cristiano perdonar? Y vamos a abrir nuestras Biblias en Mateo capítulo 6. We're going to look at verses 7 to 14. Los versos de 7 al 14. Again, the focus is not on God forgiving us as much as it is how hard it is for us to forgive others. El enfoque de nuevo no es tanto en lo que Dios nos perdona a nosotros, sino lo difícil que es para nosotros perdonar. Matthew 6 says as follows. When you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. Pray like this. And then Jesus gives a model of how we should pray. Starting in verse 10, he says, Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Verse 11, give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. I find it very interesting, yo hallo muy interesante, that the prayer really ends after verse 13. And then Jesus comes back to the one point which he's sure would have had the disciples like going, huh? And that's the concept of forgive one another. Forgiveness is like You're going to forgive the way you have been forgiven. Me da la impresión que la oración en sí termina en el versículo 13. Pero Jesús regresa a un tema que él sabía que iba a ser controversial, que es el tema de el perdonarlo a nuestro prójimo como Dios nos perdona a nosotros. The key there is to forgive our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. When you pray, cuando nosotros oramos, and we ask God to forgive us, there's a condition there. It isn't only about God's grace and God's mercy for us. It's God demanding of us to be forgiving as well. And that's something we don't think about a lot. Es algo que no pensamos mucho, pero cuando nosotros oramos al Señor y le pedimos al Señor que nos perdone a nosotros, hay una condición ahí. Es más que la gracia y la misericordia de Dios. Dios espera de nosotros que nosotros perdonemos a los demás. There's a connection there. And then if there's any doubt about that connection, Jesus clarifies it. Y si hay alguna duda de esa conexión, Jesús lo aclara en el verso 14 y 15. He says it very clearly. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Tan fácil. Si tú perdonas, Dios te perdona. Y si no perdonas, Dios no te perdona. What are we going to have? So somebody offends us. Alguien nos ofende. And we say, I'm never going to forgive that person. Y la reacción típica es, yo no perdono a esa persona por lo que me hizo. What are we saying to God? Forgive me, but I'm not going to forgive him. Perdóname a mí, pero yo no lo voy a perdonar. And God is saying, it doesn't work that way. Y Dios te dice, así no es como funciona. That's not how it works. Así no es como funciona. And then when you stop and think about it, cuando paras y te pregunta, well, then I better understand what forgiveness is. Entonces, mejor que yo entienda lo que es perdonar. There's a lot of confusion about what it means to forgive somebody. Hay mucha confusión acerca de lo que quiere decir perdonar a alguien. But we can be clear of what it means. Now, I want you to watch this next video. Quiero que vea otro video of another story. This one is shorter. Again, showing forgiveness and the impact forgiveness has on someone. Quiero que vean otro video donde muestra el impacto que tiene el perdón en la vida de otra persona. Este es más corto.
Gary Ridgway sat there stone-faced as victims' relatives damned him and mocked him.
He's an animal. I wish for him to have a long, suffering, cruel death.
He's gonna go to hell, and that's where he belongs.
But then the emotionless facade finally cracked when the father of one of his victims appeared to surprise him with a dose of human kindness.
Mr. Ridgway, there are people here that hate you. I'm not one of them. You've made it difficult to live up to what I believe, and that is what God says to do, and that's to forgive. You are forgiven, sir.
Ese hombre mató un montón de gente. That guy killed a bunch of people. When his day in court came, y cuando vino su día en corte, those parents were letting him have it. Esos padres de esas víctimas se la estaban dejando caer, deseándole que se quemara en el infierno, wishing him to burn in hell, deseándole que tenga una muerte de castigo feroz, desiring for him a horrible and painful and slow death. And then a Christian comes to the podium. Entonces un cristiano va al podio. And the Christian's attitude is totally different. La actitud de creyente es diferente. He says, I don't hate you. Yo no te odio. Has hecho muy difícil para mí ejercer mi fe. Porque mi fe me dice que te tengo que perdonar. Y me lo has hecho bien difícil. Pero yo te perdono. And you see the guy break down. When they're attacking him, he's got this face like, whatever. Cuando lo están atacando, tiene una cara como que eso no le importa. But when he hears the words of forgiveness, cuando escucha las palabras de perdón, se quebranta. Because there's something about forgiveness. Hay algo del perdón. To the offender, al ofensor, that is unexpected. Que no se espera. You don't expect people to forgive you when you've done something horrible. Uno no espera que la gente te perdone cuando tú has hecho algo horrible. You expect them to hate you and to want to punish you. And when you get forgiveness, it's like a slap in the face. Y cuando en vez de odiarte, lo que te dan es perdón, es como una bofetada sin manos. It shakes you. It like, how could you forgive me after what I did? Es algo incomprensible. ¿Cómo me puedes perdonar después de lo que yo hice? And so these kind of stories really highlight the impact of Christian forgiveness. Now, I've picked stories that are pretty dramatic for a reason. He escogido historias que son dramáticas, pero con un propósito. If these people can forgive those that have offended them, let's not say that we cannot forgive. Si estas personas pueden perdonar después de la pérdida que ellos han sufrido, nosotros no somos quienes para decir que nosotros no podemos perdonar. We haven't suffered what they have. Nosotros no hemos sufrido lo que ellos han sufrido. And yet, God expects us to be forgiving. Dios espera de nosotros que perdonemos. Now, we have to also be clear of what forgiveness is not. Tenemos que entender lo que no es perdón. ¿Qué cosa es perdonar y qué cosa no es perdonar? Okay? To forgive is not the same thing as excusing. Perdonar a alguien no es lo mismo que excusar lo que han hecho. Forgiveness is not saying, well, what you did doesn't really matter. El perdón no es decirle a alguien, lo que tú hiciste no es tan importante, no te preocupes. No. Forgiveness is forgiving somebody in spite of what they have done, without excusing them for what they have done, under the full realization of what they have done, and what they have done is wrong. It's not that they deserve forgiveness. They do not deserve it, and it's not excusing what they have done. No es que ellos se merezcan el perdón, no. El perdón verdadero sucede sin excusar lo que se ha hecho, entendiendo que lo que se ha hecho es terrible y merece otra cosa que no sea el perdón. So forgiveness is not excusing somebody. You're not saying, okay, what you did is all right, I guess. No, that's not what forgiveness is. No es decirle a alguien, lo que tú hiciste, bueno, dejémoslo así, eso está bien entonces. It's not, it's wrong. Lo que está mal, está mal. And that's a key component of forgiveness. Forgiveness also is not forgetting. How often have we been said, have we been told, forgive and forget, forgive and forget? You don't forget. Se nos dice muy a menudo que perdonar es olvidar, pero eso no es cierto. Nuestra mente no puede olvidar. Nosotros no estamos programados así. Our minds cannot forget. Un corazón que es quebrantado con una tragedia como esta, nunca se le olvida. You never forget when something's tragic like that hits you. So to tell somebody that if you haven't forgotten, you haven't really forgiven, is wrong. Decirle a alguien, si no se te ha olvidado, entonces tú no has perdonado. Eso está errado. That's not the way it works in Scripture. Jesus says that he takes all of our sins and throws them to the depths of the sea, never to be brought out again. ¿Qué dice Jesús? Todos nuestros pecados son echados a lo profundo de la mar para nunca más ser sacados. That does not mean that they are forgotten. Eso no quiere decir que son olvidados. That means that they cannot be used against you. That they will never be used against you. Eso quiere decir que nunca van a usar esos pecados en tu contra para juzgarte después que tú has recibido el perdón de Dios. God's forgiveness means your sins are forgiven and they will never be thrown back at you. El perdón de Dios quiere decir que tus pecados son perdonados y nunca los van a usar en tu contra de nuevo. Dios no los va a usar en tu contra para juzgarte. Now, when we forgive, we have to have the same attitude. Cuando nosotros perdonamos, tenemos que tener la misma actitud. We may not forget. No se nos va a olvidar. Pero no volvemos a usar eso en contra de la persona que hemos perdonado. But we don't come back and use that against the person we have forgiven. Many times in marriages, muchas veces en los matrimonios, when one spouse offends the other, cuando un cónyuge ofende al otro, there may be a point of verbal forgiveness. Puede haber un punto de perdón verbal. That's okay, I forgive you. Está bien, yo te perdono. But that's only lasts for about a week, because the next time he does something wrong or she does something wrong, guess what? You bring it back out and hit him with him again. Remember, last week you did this to me. Then you haven't really forgiven. Pasa algo y tú le dices, bueno, te perdono. Entonces la semana que viene, cuando tienen otra discusión, vuelve a sacar lo que ya perdonaste y se lo vuelves a tirar como una acusación. Pero la semana pasada me hiciste eso y el año pasado me hiciste lo otro. Eso quiere decir que no hemos perdonado. When you forgive, cuando tú perdonas, tú no vuelves a sacar eso. You don't take that back out again. And you don't throw it back at somebody. Y no se lo sigues tirando a la persona en cara. Forgiveness means that is done with. Ya yo terminé con eso. Now, in my mind, do I remember it? Of course. En mi mente, yo me acuerdo, claro. But when it comes to my mind, the next thought has to be, yes, but I already forgave him for that. Cuando te viene a la mente, el siguiente pensamiento tiene que ser sí, pero ya yo lo perdoné. And we don't take it out. When we do marital counseling, cuando mi esposa y yo damos consejería matrimonial, and there's been a big problem in a marriage, like an infidelity, y ha visto un grande problema en un matrimonio, como una infidelidad, and one of the marriage partners chooses to forgive the other, y el cónyuge escoge perdonar al otro, one of the things we tell them, una de las cosas que nosotros le decimos es, if you choose to forgive, si tú escoges perdonar, then this is something you can never talk about again or bring back out. Entonces esto es algo de lo que ya no se puede hablar más, ni se puede volver a sacar. Because if you have the intention of using this over and over again over the next 5 years, your marriage will never work. Porque si vas a sacar esto una y otra vez durante los próximos 5 años, el matrimonio no va a funcionar. You forgive or you don't. O perdonamos o no perdonamos. You don't forget, but you choose to forgive even when you remember. No se nos olvida, pero escogemos perdonar aunque todavía lo tengamos en la memoria de lo que ha sucedido. We have to separate memories from forgiveness. Tenemos que separar las memorias de lo que es el perdón. Memories are memories. We have good memories and we have bad memories. It's what we do with the memories that we have to be careful with. Las memorias son memorias. Tenemos buenas memorias y malas memorias. Buenos recuerdos y malos recuerdos. El asunto es qué vamos a hacer con esos recuerdos. When there are things that you have forgiven, you have to understand that that has been forgiven and you have to put it aside. Cuando aceptamos perdonar, tenemos que poner a un lado eso. Imagine, let me give you an analogy to try to make this even clearer. Déjame darle un análisis para que esto quede más claro todavía. Let's say you owe me $50. Vamos a decir que tú me debes $50. And you haven't paid me, no me has pagado. Y yo vengo y te digo, mira, olvídate de los $50. Yo te perdono, no me lo tienes que pagar. And I say, look, forget about the $50. I forgive you. You don't have to. I forgive your debt. You don't have to pay me. ¿Puedo volver la semana que viene a decirle, oye, ¿dónde están mis 50 pesos? Can I come back next week and say, where are my 50 bucks? No, because if that's the case, then I haven't forgiven you. Porque si ese es el caso, no te he perdonado. Does that mean that I'm going to forget that I lent you 50 bucks and you didn't pay me? No, I'm not going to forget that. ¿Quiere decir que a mí se me va a olvidar que yo te presté 50 y que tú no me lo pagaste? No, a mí no se me va a olvidar. Pero ya no te lo vuelvo a cobrar. But I never charge you for it again because I forgave you, porque te perdoné. That's how forgiveness works. Así es como funciona el perdón. Una vez que se perdona, ese tema queda cerrado. Once you forgive, the topic is done with. And forgiveness is not the same thing as reconciliation, as reconciling. Y el perdón no es lo mismo que la reconciliación. Forgiveness is not the same as reconciliation. ¿Qué quiere decir eso? What does that mean? That means that you can forgive somebody, but your relationship doesn't have to go back to what it used to be. It may or it may not, but it doesn't have to. Tú puedes perdonar a alguien, pero eso no quiere decir que tu relación va a volver a ser la que tenías antes. Puede que sea o puede que no sea. Many people choose to forgive, but go separate ways. Muchas personas escogen perdonar, pero coger cada uno su rumbo. There are things that are easier to forgive that don't really affect a relationship, but there are things that damage a relationship. Hay cosas que son fáciles de perdonar porque realmente no dañan la relación. Pero hay cosas que realmente dañan relaciones. Más allá de lo que pueda hacer una reparación de esa relación. So we agree to forgive. And we agree to not hate. And not desire something wrong, bad for somebody. But we don't have to be best friends. Escogemos perdonar, escogemos no odiar, escogemos que no desearle nada mal, escogemos poder orar por la persona que nos ha ofendido, pero no quiere decir que tenemos que ser los mejores amigos. Now, thank God and praise the Lord when true friendship is restored, even after something like that. Gloria a Dios, porque a veces Dios restaura hasta las relaciones esas que parece que no se pueden restaurar. Thank God that God restores marriages after infidelity, even when it seems impossible. Gloria a Dios que Dios restaura matrimonios aún después de la infidelidad, aunque parezca imposible. But it's not a rule, no es una regla. Forgiveness is what is demanded of us, not reconciliation. El perdón es lo que se demanda de nosotros, no en la restitución de una relación. Sometimes it cannot be. Sometimes it cannot be. A veces no puede haber tal reconciliación. For obvious reasons. So, let me show you one last video. Déjame enseñarte un video más, and then we're going to wrap up with some principles that I want to share. Quiero mostrarle un video más, y después voy a compartir unos principios con ustedes que son importantes.
My life consisted of drugs, alcohol, and violence. Since I was a young boy, I was the person that your mother told you to stay away from, don't dare bring home. I used to hang out with an older crowd. I was the troublemaker of the neighborhood. Anything that needed to be done that was devious was my job.
Back in 1987, on July 26th, I got the call that Scott had been murdered. Scott was my 24-year-old son, the oldest of three.
I remember having the gun against Scott's head, and I knew if I pulled the trigger, he was going to die, and I was going to go to jail for the rest of my life, and it didn't matter, and I pulled the trigger. He died, and I went to jail.
I knew that my anger was destroying me. It was keeping me from relating to people as I ought to, keeping me from doing my work, and I began to ask, is this what the rest of my life is going to be like? Am I going to be continuing to live with that same kind of anger that these people have?
I got a letter in the mail, and looked at the mail call. Everybody waits for mail call, and I looked at the return address on it, and it was from Walt. And I immediately flew off the handle and started yelling and screaming and swearing and ripping and running around, yelling and screaming, how dare him violate my rights? He has no business to contact me.
When I struggled with what I was going to write to Mike about, I knew that God was prompting me to forgive him, but after telling him of all of the struggles I was going through in life, I want to thank you for what you said in court. And as hard as these words are to write, I forgive you. And believe me, those are the hardest words I've ever written, because I didn't feel good about him.
I immediately started crying because nobody in my life ever forgave me for anything I ever done, and nobody told me it was going to be okay. And he went on to tell me about God's love and why he was forgiving me, and that he couldn't be consumed with his anger any longer, and he won't be able to do his profession and be able to help other people if he didn't forgive me.
But if I choose to focus my anger on Mike for the rest of my life, then he controls my life. And it's as they say in Alcoholics Anonymous, he's renting space in my head. It doesn't cost him a cent, it costs me my life.
I wasn't sleeping well at night at all. I was in the dorm with 115 or 110 people, and I wasn't getting really no rest. And, my life was just like in chaos. And he told me that I needed to go pray for forgiveness. And like I said, I knew nothing about praying because I was far away from God. So I got on my knees and I waited for everybody to go to sleep at night, and I kneeled down on my bed. I remember saying to God, God, please forgive me for what I have done. And I said a couple other things, and I heard a quiet little voice saying to me, if you like your life now. And I dove into the bed because I thought somebody was up, and I looked around and there was nobody awake but me. I honestly could say from that moment on, my life began to get better. I start sleeping at night, soundly. I start communicating back and forth with Walt through the mail, and back and forth, we developed a friendship that is second to none.
Mike and I are good friends today, and I'm pleased to see what God has done in Mike's life. I'm also pleased to see what God has done in my life regarding this whole issue, because I knew that I was dying spiritually and emotionally. And God has provided some healing in my life and some healing in Mike's life.
I'm still accountable for, no matter how better I get, I'm still accountable for that act. I'm still accountable for taking that man's life.
I think there are a lot of people who have never yet discovered the power of God to enable them to forgive. And they live with a tremendous amount of pain. I could have been that same person. But God prodded me until I was able to forgive. And I'm thankful for that. I feel sorry for people who can't, because they live with that pain for the rest of their lives.
Ese es un padre, pastor, que le mataron un hijo. Y él le mandó una... Él le, no quería perdonar al asesino. Y le mandó... Y empezó a ver que no podía ministrar, no podía predicar, no podía hacer su trabajo. Y se estaba muriendo por dentro. Hasta que Dios tocó su corazón que tenía que perdonarlo. Y le escribió una carta ofreciéndole su perdón. Y el preso se quebrantó. Dice, nunca en mi vida nadie me había perdonado por nada. Y cuando él me explicó la razón por la cual me estaba perdonando, porque Dios lo había perdonado a él y Dios me podía perdonar a mí, que yo lo que tenía que hacer era pedirle perdón a Dios. Dice no sabía cómo orar ni cómo hacerlo, pero él se arrodilló al lado de su cama, le pidió perdón a Dios y sintió la voz de Dios audible, que lo asustó. Pensaba que era otro preso hablándole, diciéndole que era perdonado. Y su vida cambió a tal punto que empezaron a corresponder. Y hoy en día ustedes lo ven ahí junto, el padre del difunto y el asesino, ahora juntos sirviendo al Señor. Solamente Dios puede hacer eso. Only God can do that. That complete restoration where he is friends with the guy who killed his son after so many years. Now, is that easy? No. ¿Eso es fácil? Para nada. Para nada. But it's something God demands of us. Pero Dios lo demanda de nosotros. We saw it in Matthew 6. Lo vimos en Mateo 6. If we don't forgive, we are not forgiven. Si nosotros no perdonamos, Dios no nos perdona a nosotros. It's very simple. Now, 3 stages of forgiveness. 3 etapas para perdonar, y con esto vamos terminando. The first stage of forgiveness is the decision not to try to inflict an equal amount of pain on everyone who hurts us. El primer paso del perdón es no querer tomar venganza. No querer hacerle daño al que nos hace daño. El primer paso en perdonar es no querer nosotros tomar venganza. Not taking vengeance. No paybacks. Not choosing not to pay back. Escoger no dar ojo por ojo. No dar diente por diente. No corresponder el daño que se nos ha hecho. To the flesh, that's the hardest part. Para la carne, eso es lo más difícil. Because everything inside of you is going to want you to take revenge. Porque todo lo que hay en nosotros te va a pedir carnalmente una venganza. We have to fight that. Tenemos que luchar contra eso. La justicia es del Señor. Justice is the Lord's. It's not our job to do justice. No es nuestro trabajo de hacer justicia. We have to leave it to God. The second stage of forgiveness is seeing and feeling in a new way. Es tratar de ver y sentir las cosas desde una perspectiva diferente. It's trying to understand something that may be impossible to understand or very difficult. Es tratar de entender algo que puede ser imposible entender o muy difícil. It's trying to see the person who hurts with the eyes that God sees him. Es tratar de ver la persona que nos ha hecho daño como Dios lo ve. It's asking God to put love in our hearts for somebody that we don't want to love. Es pedirle a Dios que ponga amor en nuestro corazón por alguien que nosotros no queremos amar. So your feelings and you, what you're seeing and how you, your perspective has to change. Nuestra perspectiva tiene que cambiar para que haya perdón. As long as we are seeing it from a human perspective, there is no forgiveness. Mientras que lo veamos desde la perspectiva humana, no hay perdón. We have to see it from God's perspective. Tenemos que verlo desde la perspectiva divina para que haya perdón. And then stage three is the stage of forgiving. The one that shows you have begun to make some real progress is when you find yourself wishing the other person well. La última etapa es cuando ya tú te hallas en un punto donde tú puedes desearle el bien a la persona que te ha ofendido. How hard is it to wish well upon somebody who has offended you? Qué difícil es desearle el bien a la persona que te ha ofendido. That's very hard. Have you ever been offended? ¿Te han ofendido alguna vez? I have. Have somebody done something that has really hurt you? ¿Alguien ha hecho algo que realmente te ha herido? I have. I've done it and I've been the recipient of it. So, getting to the point where you wish somebody well, llegar al punto donde tú le deseas bien a la persona que te ha herido, that shows you that your heart has been healed. Eso te dice que tu corazón ha sido sanado. That you have truly forgiven. Completely. Que has completamente y verdaderamente perdonado. Keep in mind that we don't have to be best friends, and reconciliation is different. I already said that. But to desire somebody well. No estoy hablando de que volvamos a ser mejores amigos. Estoy hablando de que en tu corazón tú puedas desearle bien a esa persona. There were two people that betrayed me in a business that we had, and it cost me the bankruptcy of my business, and it cost me a lot of money and a lot of pain and a lot of legal problems and everything else a long time ago. Yo hace muchos años sufrí una traición de dos personas que eran compañeros míos de negocio. Me traicionaron, perdí el negocio. Tuve que ir problemas legales, me causó un problema tan grande. I'm a Christian. I was already a Christian. Ya yo era cristiano y sigo siendo cristiano. But for the longest time, I would tell my wife, por mucho tiempo yo le decía a mi esposa, I hope I never see them again because I don't know what I'm going to do. Yo no quisiera encontrármelos en la calle porque no sé lo que voy a hacer. I would tell my wife, look, I think I forgave them. Yo creo que los perdoné. But if I see them walking down the sidewalk, I'll run them over. Pero si los veo caminando por la acera, les paso el carro por arriba. So, there was not forgiveness there. No había perdón ahí. It took me years. Me tomó años. To be able to, God put me to the point, que Dios me pusiera en el punto, where I can pray for them and I can wish them well. Que llevarme al punto donde yo pueda orar por ellos y desearle bien. That's where I am now. Ahí es donde yo estoy. I have no longer any ill will for them. I want the best for them. Ya en este momento yo no siento nada mal contra ellos. Deseo lo mejor para ellos. That doesn't mean I'm going to go run and make another business with them. Obviously. No quiere decir que voy a correr y abrir otro negocio con ellos. Obviamente. But my heart is healed. Mi corazón está sano. So I know it's hard. Yo sé que es difícil. Very difficult. Pero tenemos que hacerlo. We have to do it. God has not given us a choice. Dios no nos ha dado a escoger. Dios no nos ha dicho, si tú quieres, perdona. Es opcional. God hasn't told us, hey, this is optional. If you want to forgive, you forgive. We have to forgive. Tenemos que perdonar. So tonight God's word is very clear. It's a very clear challenge to all of us. La palabra de Dios es un reto muy claro para nosotros en esta noche. We have to make an inventory in our hearts and see if there are people that we haven't forgiven. Tenemos que hacer un inventario en nuestros corazones y ver si hay personas que no hemos perdonado. And if there are people we have not forgiven, then we need to get that right. Y si hay personas que no hemos perdonado, tenemos que arreglar eso. Because we are not right in God's eyes until we have forgiven. Porque delante de los ojos de Dios no estamos bien hasta que no hemos perdonado. Hayamos perdonado. Now, we need to ask God to help us. Tenemos que pedirle a Dios que nos ayude. We need to ask God to do what we cannot. Tenemos que pedirle a Dios que haga lo que nosotros no podemos hacer. But if we truly put ourselves in God's hand and we choose to obey God, to honor God, and to forgive, God will help us do it. Pero si nosotros nos ponemos en las manos de Dios y escogemos hacer lo que Dios nos manda y decidimos que vamos a perdonar, Dios nos ayuda. God will help us with the process. Él nos ayuda a perdonar. He will help us because that's his heart. He has a heart of forgiveness. Porque ese es el corazón de Dios, un corazón que perdona. Let's stand up tonight. Vamos puesto de pie esta noche.